So I want to begin this morning and talk to you about a topic coming from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17 and verse 32. Stand your ground. Standing or stand your ground. And I'm going to begin emphasizing a couple of things this morning because in this day and time there is so much that's happening and it's hard to stand. People are getting swept off their feet with issues like never before. And it's very hard to stand. It's very hard to remain calm when certain things come at you. Amen? It's very challenging to remain focused on where God is taking you when the issues of life, our circumstances become so heavy. Is there anybody in here that can say, yes, I've dealt with some heavy stuff over the last few weeks? Hello, somebody. Is there anybody can say, you know what? There are some decisions that I had to make. Why? It all could have swept me off my feet, but I chose to stand. Amen. So I want to help somebody today. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 32. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 32. And I want you to turn there. Amen. So you have a Bible. I want you to turn there this morning. And this is the book. This is talking about Saul and David. The King Saul and, of course, David, how he was giving the challenge to completely kill Goliath or to slay Goliath. Really wasn't given the challenge. He actually was underestimated what he was able to do, but because of his age, so on and so forth. But chapter 17 and verse 32, the Bible says, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him." David was looking at the issues. Glory be to God. David was looking at the issue, and he said, "Let no man's heart fail because of Goliath." How many times we have seen Goliath in our lives, and we can label any little Goliath, and your heart leaps. Sometimes it's bad news. Hello, somebody. Sometimes it's what you are about to hear or what you have heard from a family member. Sometimes it's what you have heard from your boss. Sometimes it's what you have seen that have really let your heart leap. And you feel as if you are not able to overcome this one. Can I talk to you? You feel as if you are not able to overcome this one. My God. But David says, do not let your heart leap. Why? Because he knows how to stand. A lot of people think that they can stand by themselves. But I'm going to teach you today how to truly stand in days of circumstances, in days of challenges. Let me look at the next part of this. So let's read from the top again. So verse 32, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. And he continues and said, your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Everybody shout Philistine. He said, David said to Saul, you don't need to be afraid. There's no need to hesitate, and there's no need for you to be scared. I will go and I will stand. The word Philistine means, the word Philistine emphasizes hard-headed. Somebody shout hard-headed. It means someone that refused to change their mind. And I've talked about this a few times. Well, someone that refuses to change their mind. So David was going up against someone that would not back down. David was willing to fight against someone that would not shift in his determination to destroy the people. Can I tell you that there are times you go after some things and some people and some things come after you, and they have already made up in their mind that they're going to be Philistine-minded. They're going to be, everybody shout, hard-headed and refuse to change. And they have it in their mind that they're going to take you down no matter what. A Philistine is one of a race of people who lived in the coastal area of the Mediterranean in ancient times. And were often, can you reset that to the scene for me, please, to the original? So let's do this. So the Philistine mind, somebody shout Philistine. Because here's what Philistine does. When they come after you, they said, I am not going to back down until you are down. So if Goliath was that kind of person, somebody shout large. Because in order for you to stand against something large, you cannot do it by yourself. And what you are going to need is the Spirit of God to reside with you. So I'm going to talk about what it means to stand. First of all, though, it means that you must put on the whole armor of God. Amen? It means to do exactly what Paul says when he got converted and he become born again. It means that he said, instead of fighting your own battle, you now have to fight a spiritual battle. It means that the way you used to fight, you can't fight anymore if you are going to stand. One of the things that I've noticed a lot when people get really angry and really upset, church, is that when two of them are going after each other, and you've seen this all the time because you watch those videos that somebody literally stand there and video somebody almost kill each other. Amen. Can I talk to you? They stand there and they videotape it. So what you are noticing against these two people is that both of them have made up in their mind that they're going to take down somebody. And at the end of the day, you already know that somebody is going to get hurt. But here is what the both of them, the two that's going against each other, have in common. They are both Philistine-minded, and they are so hard-headed, and they think that the both of them are going to take down each other, and nobody is going to, both of them feel as if they're going to win. Can I talk to somebody? So you have two people that's standing against each other, and they both feel as if they are going to win. Because of self, because of their fighting in their own strength. But I hear God says, you cannot fight certain battles in your own strength. If you are going to stand, you have to be willing to say, God, I am going to put on not only my natural clothes, but I'm going to put on my spiritual clothes. And that is the armor of God. When we talk about stand, I'm talking to people that are at a place in their life that feel as if they are being swept off their feet. And they're not able to maintain the things that they are chasing after. If you are going to stand, you also need something else. Somebody shout confidence. If you are going to stand in this day and time, you have to be confident that you are going to make it. If you are going after something and you have no confidence, it means you have no faith. Come on. Why pray if there is no confidence? What, if you have already given up, that means you are dead. Can I talk to somebody? The only person that should give up or that should throw in the towel and say, I'm not going to fight this thing is someone that's already dead. But we must learn how to stand, but not in our own power, but within the power and the might of God. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand in the evil day. How many of you know that there are some evil stuff happening around us? Come on. He said, put on the whole armor. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on the helmet of salvation. And when certain things come at you, you got to be able to deal with it in a spiritual manner. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and against but against principalities, and against powers, and against rulers of darkness in high places. Can I talk to somebody? So you're evaluating yourself, and you're wondering, how can I make it? Number three, we need power. Somebody shout power. Power. Woo! If I get my drill right now, my battery charging drill, you know what? I don't need a battery charging drill. I need a microphone. Amen? I'm going to show you something. Woo! I'm going to show you something. So this is a microphone. In this microphone, it's got power, I think. Amen? Thank you. This one's got, let's see. There we go. This one's got power. Everybody shout power. It can work because it's got power. The moment power is out, you can beat it, you can toss it, you can unscrew it, it will not work because it has no power. What Christians need in order to stand is power. But when we say the word power, we think it's one that man gives. We think it's one that we can get off the shelf. We think it's one that we can knock on a door and say, I need power, and we get it now. Even in the New Testament, when the Spirit of God came upon them and the Spirit of God began to do some things, the Bible says Simon the sorcerer began to want to buy power. But power, this kind of power, it cannot be bought. It cannot be put over the shelf. But you have to tap into the Holy Spirit in order to experience this power. Can I talk to somebody? How do we stand in evil days? You must need the whole armor. You must need confidence. You must need power. Now, David had this about him as a child. He was going after a Goliath. And nobody thought he could do it. Here's a tip for you. It doesn't matter your age. When you are dealing with power, age is just a number. It doesn't matter your capability or your knowledge. When you're dealing with power, the power from on high, you can do it. In fact, Paul, I mentioned a few weeks ago, Paul wasn't so smart. Peter, they weren't so smart. They didn't go to the best colleges and the best seminaries and get all their knowledge, and they just said study. But they believed God through the Holy Spirit for them to be able to fight in the evil days. In fact, Peter, you have seen multiple times, and I love to talk about Peter, how dumb Peter was while he was walking with Jesus. And he would do nothing right until the Holy Spirit came upon them. It's when he was able to operate. In other words, he didn't have no battery. But the moment he took a charged battery and he put on his life, my God, healing began to happen. People got saved. People got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the power of God is what allows us to stand. We fail a lot of times because we skip the power. We take things in our own hands. We say, we can do this thing. God, you're taking too long, so let me try to do this for myself. And we miss out on what God is saying because we think we can do it. But let me talk to you a little bit more about age. Abraham was 99 years old, and Sarah was 90 when they conceived their child. Hello, somebody. Power. The Holy Spirit impregnate them. Mary was a virgin, but yet she conceived a child. Man could not do that, but power. Can I talk to somebody? I'm teaching somebody today how to stand in the evil days. I'm teaching somebody today how to remain above and stand out when things are not going the way we want it to go, when things are not coming together as smooth as we want it to come. I hear God say, if you will depend on the Holy Spirit to come in and to usher in and to do the thing for you, I'm telling you, you will prevail. David was about 17 when he killed Goliath. So as we read in verse 32, David, you can't, Saul said, no, David, you can't do this. You don't worry about this. But David says, don't let your heart be dimmed. What's the exact words? He said in verse 32, let's go back to that. He said, let no man's heart fail because of him. The only thing that could allow someone to speak so boldly at 17 years old, when they see a big, tall giant, about 3 or 4 times your size, comes in front of you, is the Holy Spirit. Can I talk to somebody? You know you cannot take that thing down by yourself. Glory be to God. I've always said, what took down Goliath is not the stone, it's the confidence that was in David. Can I tell somebody that the thing that's going to take down your challenge and take down your circumstance is not the might. It's not by your own power, but by the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of you and your confidence that you have that it must fall. You want me to tell you something amazing? The reason why witchcraft becomes real, why witchcraft is real, is because the person who developed or the person who is doing it, it's only their confidence. They look at it and they believe it, they believe it, they believe it, they believe it, they believe it. If they believe for something, and why is it witchcraft? Because it means no good. Okay? But it's the same. On the other hand, if you're doing something and you're believing for the good, then that's where the Spirit of God is present. Can I talk to you? Because God says, think on these things that are pure, things that are honorable, things that will make impact, things that will grow. God says, I wish above all that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's the kind of God we serve. God says, I wish that you live and not die. God says, this is what I want for you. That's why it comes into the spiritual realm. But the witchcraft end is where somebody wants worse for you. And if they believe it, they believe it, they believe it, and then they get you to believe with them. Boom. But you stand by counterattacking, by believing for the best. Can I talk to somebody? And that's how the Spirit of God works in our lives. So, watch this. Jesus was 12 years old when he started his ministry. What am I indicating to you? As long as the presence of God is present, it doesn't matter your situation. In other words, if you are in a situation where it seems so impossible, as long as God shows up in it, it can be possible. As long as God is in the situation, it can be possible. So now, let me get our illustration there, Deacon, so we can show you some things. Because you have to understand that it's not within self that we fight and we win. But it is within the Spirit of God that we win. Glory be to God. Come here, can I use it for a second? Yes, sir. Welcome to Beulah. Amen. Watch this. So there are some things that we deal with. Help him. Oh, you got that? Bring that over here. Glory be to God. I like illustrations because it leaves a clear image in your mind. Oh, man. Hey, look at him. He's strong. All right. Right there. There you go. Good job, gentlemen. All right. Come on now. Your turn now. Over here. You ever boxed before? You ever, no. All right, not me. That's this. Not me. All right. So what I want you to do is hit that thing. Just get in a little boxing mode there. There we go. I want you to give it a bump. All right. Just watch the bottle, church. Watch it. Bump again. All right. Go to this way a little bit. There you go. Now, I want you to give it two, and I want you to give the second one, I want you to give it as hard as you can. So the first one is like, boom, boom. The next one is real hard. Here we go. As hard as you can. Woo! See, that is some Christians. We are so weak in ourselves. Come on. Listen to me, somebody. We are so weak in ourselves that when somebody punches you, when issues of life hit you, my God, they realize you're movable. Come on, then they said, I gotta hit them a little harder. A boom, and take you out. And then you begin to quit. Then you begin to give up. Then you begin to look at your circumstances and say, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I just rest my case. But you got to have the Holy Spirit. Come on. Do the same thing. See that he is movable. There we go. Go ahead. Give it as hard as you can. Come on. Oh, glory be to God. Come on. Punch that thing, man. Punch it down. Boom. I'm coming back at you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in my base. My God, somebody better. Thank you so much. Better understand what I'm saying to you. The issues is this. The enemy develops stuff in your life. And he works out and he finds out how weak you are. And the moment he finds out how weak you are, he takes advantage of it. He begins to go to your family. He begins to go to your neighbor. He begins to erupt everything that he possibly can. Come on, somebody. But if you, as the head of the house, fathers, if you, as the head of the house, daddies, if you are the head of the house, say, I'm going to be rooted and grounded in God. And the Spirit of God is going to dwell in me. He cannot pass you, no matter how much you hit it. I'm going to bounce right. Come on, you better bounce, son. I'm going to bounce right back. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in you. Come on, somebody. Hosea was 16 years old when he works for the Lord. He had power to break any chain. Hosea, 16 years old. He had power, he had anointing to break anything that come his way. How many people want power? See, we're not talking about this one that you need a battery for. We're talking about a power that when you look at something, oh, glory be to God. How many of you know that your parents, how many of you remember your parents just look at you and you know what it means? Hello. Yeah, they just look at you. If I look at my daughter a certain way, she knows what it means. You don't have to say a word. Why can't we just bring that into the spiritual realm? Huh? Where we just look at the enemy. And the moment you look, he knows you're not to be messed with. Can I talk to somebody? Hello? The only time he can try something is when you're sleeping. Hello? And it's when he do try. Amen. The enemy don't like to see me get up in the mornings. Listen to me. I've said this over and over. I said, when I get up in the morning, and I put my foot on the ground, the enemy gets nervous. His teeth is shaking. He's up again. He's up again. Because I've made up my, when I get up in the morning, I didn't get up in self. Oh, glory be to God. See, a lot of people get up in self, and this is what they say. Oh, it's going to be a bad day. Right? They get up and they say, oh man, nothing is working for me. You're right. Nothing works for you. But if you allow God to work on your behalf, come on, somebody. If you allow the Spirit to do the moving, then you will begin to see things working in your life. If you get up and it's a bad, and it seemed like you did the first thing wrong, and you declare that it's going to be a bad day, you have just set the pace. But you can counterattack and say, Father, whatever I just encounter, I know that's not your will for the day. But I declare now that today is going to be the best day ever. I thank you, Lord, that peace that passes all understanding is going to follow me throughout this door. Whatever issues show up, God, I know you will protect me. I know you will build a fence around me, Lord. I know that you will carry me. Father, the footsteps that's behind me, it's not mine. But it's you carrying me. See, you have allowed the Spirit to do the work. But when you come and you say, oh, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. This is not going to work. You have just taken on the challenge of the day for yourself. Let me remind you something. You cannot keep what God gives you if God is not with you. Amen. If God give you the day and you sit God out of it, yes, you're going to have a bad day. Come on. If God gives you the money and you take God out of it and say, let me spend it and then I come back and get some more, yes, you're gonna languish it. You're going to lose it all. Can I talk to somebody? Remember the prodigal son? He took daddy out of it. The fact that he took daddy out of it, he lost it all. But if daddy was involved, he would have been all right. So it's time we say, Father, I am not going to keep you out of this thing anymore, but I'm going to keep you in it. If you look with me, 2 Chronicles is not on the overhead. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 6 shows us that Uzziah declared war on the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath. This guy was 16 years old. And he was leading an army. Isaiah, in verse 11, says, Isaiah had an army of well-trained warriors ready to march into battle. And he had them spaced out unit by unit. They would go in. He would organize and he would do it. Why? Because he wasn't led by himself, but he was led by the Spirit of God. Verse 13 emphasized that the army consists of 307,500 men. He had to carry these people. He was 16 years old. How can we stand without God? Today, if you walk around the world and you see certain people doing certain things, a lot of people right now, if they see certain people doing certain things, and they ask them their age, and the moment they realize their age, they're nothing. But I'm here to remind you that it doesn't matter how old you are, how thick the situation is, how small the situation is, as long as the Spirit of God is present in the house, glory be to God, in your body, in your spirit, then you will see God move like never before. Can I talk to somebody? Verse 14 also emphasized that Isaiah provided the entire army with shields, spears, helmets, coats, bows, and sling stones. He got them equipped. Similar to what we're doing here in the spiritual realm. Every week you receive words, scriptures, encouragement, motivation. Can I talk to somebody? Right? For what reason? To fight spiritual battles. How many times a situation comes in and you said, I remember last week's message. Let me utilize this thing. Let me test this thing. Every week when you walk in here, you may not have it indirectly in the physical realm. But I guarantee you, Sister T, come here for a second. What I do every week is this. Here. That's a scripture, right? You get another one, and every time you write those notes, that's what you're getting. You're getting your weapons. You're getting what you need. You come to the storehouse every day, and you pick up what you need to go out. Because the truth is, thank you, the truth is this, and people don't know it. We are a target by the enemy. We are a target of the enemy. Why? Because you are a born-again Christian and you have made up your mind to follow Christ. Anybody that made up their mind to follow Christ is going to deal with circumstances. That's why the scripture emphasizes, and it says for us to count the cost. Can I talk to you? It says you count the cost. Understand what it means to be a Christian. Before you begin to walk, understand that you're going to have to give up some things. Understand that you're going to have to let go some things. Understand that you're going to have to do some things some different ways. But too many people think that when they become a Christian, they can live the same way. That's not how it works. If you're going to stand in evil days, you need the word. Somebody shout word. Somebody shout spirit. Acts chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were preaching. Jesus says, you're going to experience something. Peter teaching, and Paul, they said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Why is that so important? That water baptism is not the only thing you need. Why is it so important for you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? In order for you to stand, and I'm not talking about, oh, I have the Spirit in me since I was born again. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit, where you begin to speak unknown language to you. The Bible says in the book of Acts that, in fact, there are 650,000 languages. Okay? But the Bible emphasizes that 120, about 120 of them were up in the upper room, were in the upper room, in the book of Acts. About 120 were in the upper room, including the mother of Jesus. What am I saying? They were all there speaking a complete different language. And why is this important? Everybody on the outside spoke different languages and could understand what they were saying in the upper room. Jesus said when he left, I will send you another comforter to bring things back to your remembrance. What am I emphasizing to you? We need the Holy Spirit in order for us to stand. My God. The reason why we put money in the bank is so when we need it, it's there. Amen, somebody. Even that fails you sometime. Amen. Can I talk to somebody? Even that failure, you put your money there, and you're so confident. How many of you ever, it's a worse feeling to go into Walmart or Sam's Club and stuck your card in that machine after shopping for all them things, and there's a big old line behind you, and they're looking at you, when you're going to be done, and your card say decline. And you take out another one, and you stuck it in. Decline. Come on, am I talking to anybody? And you know it's not you. My God. But the bank messed you up. I And you're there trying to explain yourself. Man, I know I got money in the bank. Oh, there's no way. Man, it is the most embarrassing feeling. My point is, it failed you. But what will not fail you is when you are in trouble, my God, and you give this side to going to the Spirit Bank. My God shall supply all your needs. He will show up just in time when you need him. When I pray for you and believe God for healing over your life, I don't have to worry whether or not you're going to be healed. Can I talk to somebody? I don't have to have a concern whether or not, is she going to be healed? Is he going to be healed? No. I am confident that my God will heal you. What he did for others, he will make do for you. Come on, somebody. My God promises that whatever comes in your life, if we will call down the Spirit upon it, a shift shall happen. My God promised me that he will heal every sickness and he will heal every disease. But I must depend and bank on the Holy Spirit. When I pray for somebody, anybody in here needs prayer right now for sickness? You have a sickness in your body? Anybody? Anybody? No? Everybody healed? Feeling good? Okay, come here. Sorry. That's probably why many people didn't raise their hand. They didn't want to come on. Man. So where you need healing? Your lower back? Okay. Come here. See, you have to understand how the Spirit works. I'm a vessel. You know I'm not praying for you based on me wanting you to be healed. Of course, I want to see you healed. But I don't care what happens afterward because I'm confident that it's in God's hand. I shared a story a while back. I was preaching at a crusade in Jamaica and somebody that had an issue in their eye. And I called a lady up, first of all, and she had blurry seeing. She could not see the logo, the theme that was behind us in the tent. And I got her and I got my prayer shawl and I lay it over her eyes. And I prayed for her and she was able to see. And we'd say, now look. And she read the whole thing, and the people witnessed that because she was not able to see clearly. And then one lady that came up that had similar issue, we prayed for her, and she looked at me and she's like, "What about me? That lady is healed. What about me? It's not my might, huh? But it's." God, so therefore, when I pray for you, if the Holy Spirit don't want to heal you, that's up to him. I cannot take that weight. My God, somebody better understand what I'm saying. It is not my, but God, you got to do this. So lay your hand on her lower back. Father, I speak now. I declare in the name of Jesus, Father, the authority that you have given to us on earth, I speak now in the name of Jesus, and I command every pain to go from her body in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that it is done. In the name of Jesus Christ, lift your hands to heaven. Lift your hand. Father, I thank you now that pain is gone. I thank you for healing. I thank you for healing that she'll now stand and be a testimony to God for what had happened here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody clap your hands. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Say, I receive it. Say, I receive it. Now begin to do this. Huh? You can move it? All right, test your back now. Where it was. It's a lot better. Come on. Somebody clap your hands. Thank you so much. Give God a praise. You believe God to do his work. That's the same way you stand in evil days. They can be as evil as they want toward you. But you know whom you are, whose you are. You know who covers you. You know who protects you. You know who guides you. You know who carries you. Come on, somebody. They may see you, but you know you are not alone. They may see you walking around feeling like you have lost everything, but they just don't know that if they punch you, you're going to bounce back because the Spirit of God is in your base. My God. There are people that look normal, but they're abnormal. I love to meet people. And one of the things that they do a lot when I meet them, they begin to tell me, they begin to define me based on my age. One of the first things they do is ask how old I am. And until today, I don't discuss that with people. You know why? That's not important. If you are going to determine my success or determine my capability based on my age, you're not for me. You don't understand the Spirit. Hello? Deacon, I know we're about the same age, so you are... If people are going to see you and they're going to determine how strong you are based on your age, you don't need to be around them. You have something in your base that when you feel as if everything is lost, when people look at you and it seems as if all is going down, what they don't know is if they hit you, you're coming back. Oh, Jesus. Let me say this. There are so many people that's been turned down by the enemy and been turned down, by people. And you did not receive the things that you need. And we walk away. There's so many people that have been struck by life circumstance and we gave up. But I want to remind you today, you don't need to give up. When the enemy struck you, you just need to back up. Ah, Jesus. Some people back up and never come back forward. But if you see me back up, you better watch out. Can I talk to somebody? Oh, Jesus. Somebody, am I preaching to somebody today? I say, when life circumstances come your way and you back up, come on. If you see me back up, you better watch out, because when I come back, I'm coming back with a power that's not my power, but by the Spirit of God. We all will agree that sometimes we try things on our own first. Amen. We try to see, because God don't care to actually do something for you that you can do for yourself. God do not care to do anything that you can do for yourself. God will not go find a job by going to the boss and coming back with the application. Amen. And say, here is the application. You know, a lot of people think of God that way. Yeah. They said, unless God come right here and sit next to me and tell me in my ears, this is what I want you to do, I'm not going to do it. There are people that does that all the time. But God will not do what you can do. So what God is looking for is something to do that you cannot do. Oh, I wish you got that. So when you get into that, that covers your entire life there. That gives you security, deacon. That gets you that confidence that I will do what I can do, but what I cannot do, I got a secret weapon. Come on. So you can be rude all you want. You can tell me that I can't all you want. You can test me all you want. Come on. So these Christians that have no base, they get rolled around. Hello? They get tossed with winds to and fro. Come on. They're empty vessels. Back in Jamaica, we said empty barrel makes the most noise. Hello? Hello? You ever met people that just have the talk? They just talk the talk, but they can't walk the walk. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to you? Sometimes you got to tell somebody, just shut up. Because what you are saying makes no sense. All you are doing is making noise. But when you have the Spirit of God in you, my God. Whoo. Let me finish. Let me finish. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in the Judea and in Samaria and in the and to the end of the earth. Let me read it from that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witness where? Where? In Jerusalem and in all Judea and in where? Samaria. And to the end of the earth. Now, let me tell you something about Judea. In fact, Judea and Samaria. These places were evil places. In fact, these places, Jesus told his disciples, while they were with him, not to go. Peter did the same thing. He told them, don't go there. Why? The Spirit of God, unless the Spirit of God is with you, you cannot go there. And there are certain things you cannot do unless the Spirit of God is with you. My God. The reason why a lot of people lose their integrity, lose their lives, lose their stability, and lose their income, and lose their finances is because they go places without the Spirit. So Jesus says, wait for me. Wait till the Spirit comes. Wait up there in the upper room until I show up. Look at this. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. The day of Pentecost shows up. They were all together in one place. The other version says, in one accord. They were together in unity. And Jesus said, now the Holy Spirit is coming up. And the Bible says, they all began to speak in tongues when the heavens open up and pour them out an anointing like as a fire. Glory be to God. It wasn't fire. It was as a fire. In other words, the heat in that place caused their bellies to roll. Glory be to God. Their mouths begin to move and they're speaking things that they have never spoken before. Glory be to God. And people on the outside was understanding. And now, watch this. I'm coming down. Immediately, Peter, the same Peter that cut off people's ear, the same Peter that sank when he walks on the water, the same Peter that denied Jesus, The same Peter that could not cast out demons, and the same Peter that could not go to Samaria or Judea, came and he preached. The same Peter that couldn't even preach came and he began to preach. And 3,000 and 5,000 got saved and were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, glory be to God. Just like that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came. Somebody better celebrate God in this place. I said, the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, things that you could not do, you'll begin to do. Things that you could not stand in, you'll begin to stand. Things that used to walk on you, you are now walking on it. Come on, somebody. Things that used to dissolve you, you are now dissolving it. Come on. Things that should have been destroying you, you now is destroying it. Things that, come on, give me, somebody help me. Give me them sticks right here. Come on. You're not hearing me. I said, things that's been carrying you, you begin to carry it around. You're not hearing what I'm saying. I said, when the Holy Spirit is fully come upon your life. Come on, somebody, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. I'm believing God. I'm believing God that you will not, this will not carry you no longer, but you shall carry it around. My God. Over the mountains and the sea, where rivers runs with love for me, and now I'll open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the, and now I'll daily lift my hands, for I will always sing. When your love came down, I could sing of your love forever. Sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. Anybody wants to dance with me? Come on. Come on, put your hands together. Oh, I feel like dancing. Come on. It's foolishness, I know. When the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now. I could sing of your love forever. Open your mouth, say, I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. The Spirit of God desires for us to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The Spirit of God wants to see you make it. That is why it's important for us to acknowledge Him and give Him the glory and the praise, because we must be able to stand in evil days. Thank you, Lord. I want to remind you, fathers, specifically. You need foundation. You need foundation. And the foundation is not the I am the man. The foundation is the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. I said, I am a spirit. I have a soul that lives in a body. But you need the Holy Ghost. I can't preach it enough to remind us that being able to pray in the Holy Ghost. Glory. Let me just say this. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you're just born again, people ask me all the time, do I go to heaven? Absolutely. You're born again, you're living for God. How quick will you go to heaven? Probably quicker. Because you can't stand. You don't have no authority. You don't have no power to fight. All you're living in, you're just living. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, he kills you. He knocks you over. Boom, you're just lightweight. Come on. But when you got the Holy Spirit, you can bounce me. You can push me around. You can tell me I'm no good. You can tell me I'm not going to make it. But I will stand in the days of evil. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is in you. People don't like to hear that message. Because what they like is to go to certain churches and they tell them, you just have to be a Christian. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You can drink all you want, smoke all you want, go all the strip clubs, do everything you want, and it doesn't matter. All you got to do is accept Jesus Christ. No. See, when you have the Holy Ghost, you know that's not right. I better preach now, right? I said, you know it's not right. When the Holy Ghost is in you, you get convicted. Hello? But when there is no Holy Ghost, you take anything. Anything comes. But when the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Ghost is within you, I'm going to call it a David bed. David dance on the bed. When the Holy Ghost is in you, you do crazy things. The songwriter says, it's foolishness, I know. Somebody clap your hands. Somebody bless God. I'm going to believe God that the Holy Spirit will show up now and develop individuals to even be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I want you to close your eyes, lift your hands to heaven in a vigorous hand lifting to God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and those of you that's been baptized in the Holy Ghost, begin to speak in tongues. You begin to speak in tongues now and believe God. Let the Holy Ghost develop upon you and cause those that are in here that desires it, glory be to God, to experience it. Father, in the name of Jesus, now have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way in this place, Father. Have your way in this place. Let your Holy Spirit, Lord God, flow throughout this place. Lord God, that the Holy Ghost, because of fire, as this being, oh God, the sanctuary, oh God, a place where we worship together, cause us to be in one accord now, that your Holy Spirit, as a fire, will come up in this place, Lord God, and cause us to speak in unknown languages, Lord God, that God, so many will be blessed by what we are saying, Lord God. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, open the mouths of man, open the spirit of man, that we may realize that we need the Holy Spirit to stand in the evil days. In Jesus' mighty name, let your spirit reign in this place. Come on, somebody, open your mouth and pray. If we will pray, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, God says, there he will be, there he will be, there he will be, and he will heal your land. Your rabba shekete.